Welcome to the Guardians of Grace podcast. Relax. You have found the right place. We're here to serve. Join us, holding to pure grace. Again, relax. Join in with us. Listen on. Be blessed.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Guardians of Grace podcast. My name's Bill, and I'm sitting across the table from you-know-who, none other than Grace, Guard Dog Steve.
Hello, everybody. Glad you're all here. Hey, Bill, glad you're here, too.
I'm glad to be here. He just handed it over, and I was looking at the chalkboard for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm back in. Go ahead.
You're back in, huh? You know something I wanted to ask you about, Bill, was that guy, Brother Bob, that was memorizing the Give Us Wisdom scriptures, the scriptures for wisdom. Is he still doing all of that?
Oh, yeah. He's already tackled, let's see, Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 1, and he might be on to, let's see, there's a couple in Philippians and Colossians.
Galatians.
He wants all the epinosis. Yeah. Bob was part of the Wednesday night men's Bible study, the famous Wednesday night men's Bible study.
Amen.
I've been with those guys, most of the same guys, it seemed like 5-6 years now.
Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden you say, oh, I've been doing this Bible study for 10 years.
They are buds. Got to see Bishop Alex last Wednesday, and he told me some pretty amazing things. You know, he goes all over
Africa.
Yeah, and he goes to Nigeria, which he said it's about 90% Muslim there.
Ouch. That's the same with Indonesia.
They don't want to chop your head off. The rank and file, I don't know, that's kind of an insult. Muslims, just nice people, good people.
That's the way it is in Indonesia. There's some troublemakers, but yeah. Most of them are just the nicest, down-to-earth people. Polite, huge smile. If you smile at them, just the biggest smile comes back at you. Yeah. Nothing like you would hear of on TV.
No, the radical ones are just a minority.
Like a super minority.
Yeah.
Minuscule.
But what he was saying, he said, I've noticed, I share the gospel with some of these Muslims who've never heard it, yet they somehow know about the gospel. There's something in them. I know it. It's Christ in them, unaware to them that Christ is in them.
Right.
I know that.
Like Paul said, it was time for Christ to reveal himself in me.
If that doesn't fit your doctrine, I'm sorry. But
yeah,
it's true. Christ is in people, and people aren't even aware.
Did you know there's verses that say that?
All the way back to
Job.
Job's
set eternity in their hearts.
That one, and when Job was, remember when there was the three older guys, they were giving Job a law and grace speech. My memory serves me right, weren't they?
Yeah, a law speech, yeah.
They were saying, Job, I mean, look at all the bad things that have happened, Job. You must have some secret sin. Just fess up, buddy.
Yeah.
And they went on and on and on and on that God doesn't allow bad things to happen unless you've done bad things to deserve them.
Yes.
Kind of like karma or whatever. But there was three of them, and there was one guy named Elihu, I think his name was, young guy. And he said, you know, I waited for you two older guys to finish.
Yeah.
All your cause and effect religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're older, so I waited.
Mm-hmm.
But he finally says, you guys could not be wrong, more wrong. And then he said something very profound. He said, for there is a spirit in man, and the word man there is the plural for actually mankind,
yeah. It,
meaning all men. There's mm-hmm. a spirit in all, yeah, there's a spirit in all men, and it is the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. Pretty much the same thing it says in 1 Corinthians 2.
Yeah.
The natural man does not understand the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
The two older guys that he waited to speak were what? Natural men.
Natural.
Did they understand the things of God?
No.
They just saw cause and effect, religion.
Yeah.
But it's the spirit that gives a man understanding. And that's what Paul was saying.
Yes.
The natural man does not understand the things of God. They're foolishness.
And that's what that guy's praying for, the spirit to give him understanding.
Yeah, you're talking about Bob.
Yes.
Memorizing these prayers that are giving him a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can understand the things of God.
Yes.
That they're not cause and effect religion. Mm-hmm. Actually, we're right there.
Because you guys are doing Galatians, right?
We're doing Galatians, and we're right at chapter 5. It made me think that I understood Galatians 5:1. I understand it different now. And you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, dear Lord, yes. Yes, yeah. You know I do. You know I do.
How did you used to understand it?
It says, it was for freedom's sake that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't subject yourself again to a yoke of slavery. And I always...
What did you think a yoke of slavery meant?
Yeah. I know what it means now, but back then when I first started reading this, I thought the yoke of slavery was back into sin again.
That, backsliding.
That sin has taken you to be a slave of sin and everything. And that is a true notion. That is a true notion, but it's not what is being said in that one particular sentence. And it only took me 25 years to understand it. But now that I do understand it, I'm totally rooted in it. And immediately when I see or hear the passage, I know exactly what it means when it says, don't be caught up again with another yoke of slavery. I mean, I know it darn well means don't be going back to your human nature, your human effort, because then you will be enslaved. Remember Paul saying, the law is spiritual, but I am human, sold into bondage to sin. Don't go back to that human nature that's sold into bondage to sin. Don't yoke yourself up with a yoke of slavery again. I mean, yeah, don't sin means you're not slave to sin because you're not sinning. That part's true, but just this one verse is saying don't go back to human performance. It, even in Galatians, it says, don't let the sin guy get you. But here it's talking about being yoked with a human performance treadmill.
Let's read it again.
Okay. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be again subject to a yoke of slavery.
So let's look at it this way. It does say, for freedom he set you free. What do you need to be free from to be free from sin? You need to be free from something in sin, order to be free from sin.
Sin shall not be your master because you are not under law, but under grace. You're slave to sin when you put yourself under law and stay away from grace. When you're under grace, sin shall not be your master and you won't be a slave to sin when you're under grace.
So sin is the master.
Sin is the master.
And you're a slave when you're not trying hard to stop sinning. That's what I thought it meant. What does it say?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that again?
Don't try hard to not sin. You've been set free from that. You've been set free from having to try so hard not to sin that your life is miserable. So since you have been free, don't subject to a yoke of slavery again. Don't go back to the human performance treadmill again. Don't go back to humanly trying to do this again. That's the yoke of slavery that they're talking about in this passage. Now, even later on in Galatians, it says, don't use it as a license to sin. But here, it's not meaning that.
In one word, sin shall not be your master because you're not under grace, but you're under law. That's the way it's interpreted.
Yes.
What does it say? When is sin not our master? When we're under grace or when we're under law?
Sin is not our master when we're under grace.
I don't get that, Steve. If I'm under law, that means I'm trying, right?
Yes.
I'm committed. Mm-hmm. I'm following rules.
Mm-hmm. And falling short.
And sin masters me?
And sin masters you.
Like takes advantage of my good intentions?
Yes.
But if I'm under grace, I'm free from sin?
You're free from the sin because Jesus Christ is in the ring with sin instead of you. And he will whoop sin every time, but you won't.
I'm usually knocked out in the first 20 seconds.
Yes.
You know what would help? Paul gives a, what's the word, analogy?
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we read it, we can get kind of an understanding of a picture of law and grace, a picture of freedom and slavery, because he actually uses the term, this allegory is a picture of two covenants, doesn't he?
He does. He's making a, he goes to great lengths to make a picture of it, and it's worth looking at that picture because it very much goes along with the very first verse in chapter 5.
It's needed to, you can't just jump in chapter 5 and read, it's for freedom that Christ set you free and stand firm and be not entangled again in the yoke of slavery.
Right.
Because like you, Steve, I always heard that one verse with no context, and it to me it meant double down on your commitment, and I would blow it. And I didn't know why. So, like you, I interpret Galatians 5:1 completely different than I did 30 years ago. But let's get into the allegory. It's in chapter 4.
Paul himself says it better than you and I were just trying to say it. He says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It's really the same thing he says in verse 13. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for human effort, but through love, serve one another. Do not turn this opportunity into an opportunity to try harder all over again and be yoked with this. See, he never.
Another very misunderstood verse.
In both places, it took me 30 years to understand. In both places, I thought it meant you're set free from sin, so don't go back to the bars. You're set free from sin, so don't go back to the bars. In both places, it was saying you're set free from sin, so don't go back to human effort.
We're terrified to tell people that. We put on a, what do you call it?
An air?
I forgot that term. A qualifier.
Okay.
On this sentence. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm and be not entangled, wait, I'm mixing my two. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And the flesh sounds like gone wild sin.
Carnality. And it really means human effort.
That's
human
what it
nature.
Means. Your best effort.
Yes.
Don't turn it into an opportunity to try to live the Christian life in your own strength is a more understandable way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we feel like we got to qualify that and say, yes, your sins are all paid for, past, present, and future. But that doesn't mean you can sin all you want. The problem with that analogy is every time it talks about an explosion of sin, it's directed at a person who is trying as hard as he can not to sin.
It's say a guy, that again.
Every time it's pointed out, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh, it's talking about a person who is trying his hardest not to sin, just like the Apostle Paul. I don't understand what I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. What did he not want to do? He didn't want to sin, specifically coveting. But what happened when he said, I'm committed to stop coveting? What did he find himself doing?
Sin produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dormant.
Sin is, dead. But if you look up the definition of dead, it means dormant, inactive.
Inoperative. Yeah. Is what they say.
Not a problem. But he also says the opposite of that, but when I was in the flesh, the sin, the same word, don't use the opportunity by the flesh. He wasn't going to bars. When he was in the flesh, he was trying his hardest not to covet.
And what did sin do?
He said, when I was in
opportunity, like you said.
When I was in the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in my body, producing death.
Yep. Look, I got it, Bill. I got it. Let me just interrupt you for a second. In other words, you were set free for freedom's sake, so do not use this freedom as another opportunity to try hard. Because
that's
sin
what it's saying.
Takes that opportunity to enslave you.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
The best way to not, it's a terrible analogy, but I know you're a boxing fan. What's the best way to not get your butt kicked by Mike Tyson?
Don't get in the ring with him.
It's that simple.
Yes.
What happens if you get in the ring with him?
Yeah.
A butt kicking is coming your way.
Yeah, you healed up from that butt kicking, but don't use that butt kicking as another opportunity to get back in the ring with Mike.
How about if the spirit gets in the ring with Mike?
Big difference. Then you win.
Then Mike Tyson is getting a
butt kicking.
That's what happens. The sin guy gets his butt kicked by the spirit.
By the spirit.
We get our butt kicked.
By the sin guy.
By the sin guy. We're no match for him.
No.
So you're free.
You're free.
You've been crucified with Christ. You no longer live. The life you now live in this body, you live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, the Spirit of God inside of you.
You
Christ
live
in
by
you.
That. You live by that. And
you
not
depend
by
on
human
it.
Effort.
Living by means depending on it, abiding in it, putting full confidence in the Spirit in you, clinging to nothing else but the Spirit, putting no confidence in your human effort, just saying, I can't, I'll never stop coveting, God, in my own strength. Help me. Do it for me, actually, a better way to say it. So that's what he's saying in Galatians 5:1, that it's for freedom that Christ set you free. He set you free from not only the penalty of sin by paying for all your sins, but he actually set you free by the power, from the power of sin by empowering you with the Holy Spirit to not sin. And the goal of the Christian life never was to stop sinning. It's to get to know Christ. When you get to know Christ, and knowing as we know, experiencing Christ.
The Christian life is about the privilege of experiencing Christ.
That's what it's about.
That's the new covenant.
It's enjoying the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It is a freedom. It's a rest. A rest that we're supposed to make every effort
to enter. Hebrews. Yeah.
We don't make any effort to defeat sin.
Not anymore. We tried for 2,000 years, and it just proved to us that we couldn't do it. So we want to rely on the Spirit to do for us what we can't do for ourselves.
So let's go back to chapter 4, and Paul asks this question.
Okay.
Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not read the law? Can you pick it up from there?
Yep, I sure can. Just after we take a break so that you can hear from our sponsors. Okay, everybody, we're back. We're back in Galatians 4, starting in verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman.
Okay, so the two sons, one by the bondwoman, his name was Ishmael.
Ishmael.
And one by the free woman, and his name was Isaac.
Isaac. Well, that was by Sarah. Ishmael was by Hagar. Yes.
And Isaac was by Sarah. Okay. One was the result of a waiting on a promise, right?
Yes.
Isn't that law and grace?
That's waiting on the Lord, which is waiting on grace.
Waiting on the Lord to do something you can't
do for yourself. Yes.
And apparently, Sarah was having trouble conceiving at 70-some years old.
Yes. So what she did was she did what you're always told not to do, and she spawned Iraq because she did it. She went off in her own human performance. She said, let's try and do this as humans. You sleep with my maid, Abraham. Can you imagine that? What a great Christian idea.
Yes. Well, I just want to go on record. I would never, ever do that. I mean,
No.
My wife listens to the podcast.
You want to make that clear, huh? Yeah.
So really, we look at this and it seems obvious, but picture yourself in their shoes. God gives you a promise that you're going to have a son.
And you're hitting 90 and haven't
had your wife's in her 70s. You're like, okay, the ends justify the means. Stop sinning justifies whatever you got to do to stop sinning is fine, because mm-hmm. the end result is that you stop sinning, right? So if you have to get an accountability, set yourself up with some rules, and it works, then who cares?
Yeah, but it never works.
It doesn't work, and it's not the covenant you're under.
No, in other words, what they're saying right here is, here's two ideas. One is a good idea, and one is a very bad idea. Waiting on the Spirit and living by the Spirit is a good idea, just like waiting for God to give you a baby is a good idea. Trying to do everything in your own human nature is a bad idea, just like trying to have a baby, even though you have to have it with the maid, is a bad idea. They're horrible ideas.
And you can take credit, too. I did it. I stepped up and I had a child.
Yep.
Was it just having a baby, was that God's plan? Or was it, let me do the impossible in you through the Spirit, something you can never do for yourself?
Yeah.
Like live the exemplary Christian life.
Yes. God was trying to set up a type or shadow of the Immaculate Conception, with the old woman conceiving when she, it was impossible for her to see. It was to show us that with God, nothing is impossible, and He can cause a baby to be born from a virgin.
And God also protected Abraham and his, I mean, remember he went into, I'm getting a little off subject, but he had to protect him from those kings that took Sarah captive, and who knows what they did, but God kept them from having relationships with her.
Yes.
God protected that. And then he waited another 9 months. So everyone would say, well, I think that's the king's child. Here's the thing. It was the woman that put this ideas in Abraham's head. We're hoping at least that he was like, no, that's a that's a bad idea, Sarah.
So in other words, when it says it's for freedom's sake that you were set free, don't use your freedom as a to listen to women. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying, Bill? It seemed like that's what you were saying there, Bill.
I did not say that. I second time I'm saying this, my wife does occasionally listen to the podcast. And I don't want to sleep on the couch tonight. Okay, so there's two methods here. There's human effort and waiting on the Spirit.
That's what the story's about.
Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay.
What does it say after? Might even say these two women represent two covenants.
Yeah.
We might have a picture here.
Okay. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, according to human effort. The son of the free woman through the promise that they were waiting on.
Is that a picture of law and grace?
Is that not a picture of law and grace?
Is that not a picture of Spirit and human determination?
Yes, it's a picture of the performance treadmill and the Spirit's power.
The child born in the ordinary way, Ishmael, God said, you know, okay, I see what you're doing. So we'll use a little bit of that. And a little bit of the Spirit, right?
No, he didn't punish them or anything for it, but he just had to smooth out the situation and get them back on track.
Not only did he not punish them, but do you know that Ishmael is a recipient of the same promise? I will make you a blessing to all people,
yes,
all nations, all families of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, he's all of that. He's part of a family.
Yeah.
Part of a nation.
Yeah.
So he still gets blessed.
He got blessed.
But he's not getting any credit. And Abraham, in his human effort, is getting no credit for helping God out in his promise, is he?
It only talks about Abraham as if he produced one child.
It never mentions.
Mm-mm.
Good or bad.
No.
So what's the next verse? These two women can be...
Galatians 4:24. This allegorically speaking, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are representing two covenants proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves, which that's representing Hagar. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponding to the present Jerusalem.
Or okay.
Or the Jerusalem from above.
All right, before we get to Jerusalem above, so Hagar represents Mount Sinai, and what was given at Mount Sinai?
The law.
The law. Okay, and then Sarah represents Jerusalem above.
Yes.
Is actually the same word that Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born from above. Nicodemus said, can a woman enter
a second time?
Jesus didn't say that. He just breezed right over that. He said, he must be born from the beginning as a result of God. He must be born of God. You must be born from above, meaning must be born from Jerusalem above. That's symbolic of born of the Spirit. So see if that bears this out.
It corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, O barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. More are the children of the desolate woman than the one who has a husband.
Okay, so we have a picture of two Jerusalems, right? Jerusalem from above and current Jerusalem. It also says current Jerusalem is part of Mount Sinai. That means the Jews, under the law, in human effort, making a commitment to serve God and please God by following the rules, gritting their teeth, committing to follow God and not sin. That's what it means when he says, do you now want to live by the flesh? That's live under the flesh is synonymous with living by the law, which is synonymous with gritting your teeth and committing, which is synonymous with human effort, the word we use a lot. They all mean the same thing. Jerusalem below was the law. That's what Paul's case is making. But what does it say about Jerusalem above? Is Jerusalem above bear children to slavery?
No.
They're free.
They're free.
Free from sin, the power of sin. Jerusalem from above is also the same as saying born of the Spirit. To go back to Jesus and Nicodemus. You must be born. Jesus actually didn't say born again.
No, Nicodemus
said that.
Yeah.
But he allows him to say it because he doesn't have an understanding. I think he says, this is a hard saying, or this doesn't make sense.
Right, right.
How can this be?
Yeah, how can this be?
Yeah. He's saying, no. I'm talking about the new covenant, and you don't understand it, Nicodemus.
Exactly.
I'm talking about being born from above, or being born from the Spirit, or being born from Jerusalem above is what it means to live by the Spirit. To live from Hagar is symbolic of living by human effort, your best try, your best shot at doing a sin-free life, is living from current Jerusalem, which that's what he's talking about, these Judaizers who are saying, no, you have to keep the law. You have to live the way we've always lived from, what, Mount Sinai. Isaac is a child of promise. The promise of God that you're to Abraham, that you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the seed that's a blessing to every family, every nation, every person on the earth. And this blessing is the Spirit of God. Remember in Galatians 3, he talks about this. He talks about a promise and a blessing. And he said, we, like Isaac, are children of promise. The promise was everyone's blessed with the gift of righteousness. That's the first thing. We're blessed. Everyone's gift.
Everyone's blessing is righteousness.
Right. That's the blessing.
Gift is the Spirit.
Whether they know it or not, God sees them that way.
Yes.
But they had to wait until the promised seed came, which is Jesus, and died to end that covenant. Remember, the law has authority over a person only as long as they're alive. When Jesus died, the first covenant was over.
Over.
Now we could get the promise, and the promise was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what is able to live the exemplary Christian life that we all want to live. So, back to the analogy. The analogy is saying, didn't you see? Isn't it amazing that this picture was there? No one saw it. And then Paul brought it up. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's what it's saying.
That's what you wrote about Isaac and Ishmael for.
Stand firm and be not entangled in a yoke of slavery. Don't be an Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be an Abraham listening to your wife and sleeping with Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to live the exemplary Christian life in your own human effort, giving it your best. Don't do it.
Don't.
It leads to slavery. Isn't that what it said? Jerusalem below is in slavery.
Well, I will tell you what it said just after we take this break, Bill. Yes, the answer to your question is yes, the children from below were the slaves, because it says this is allegorically speaking, for these two women are the two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai bearing the children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. So the answer is yes, she was representing the slave. She was representing what you don't want to allow yourself to be yoked with again. You do not want to be yoked with that human performance. You want to be yoked with the Spirit and the actual accomplishments that the Spirit produces.
Right, exactly. On the surface, tell me if this isn't true. It looks like God said, you're going to have a son, and wait. Waiting's a big new covenant term. Abiding, new covenant term. Waiting, new covenant term. Kavah, abiding, that's what bears fruit. But it looks like there was some fruit, though. Doesn't it?
Kind of does, until when you start reading further in the actual chapter about them, they were arguing and Ishmael runs away in tears and she's leaving. It bore calamity. Everything that they produced when Sarah had that bright idea bore calamity, just like everything we produce, if we're not producing it by the Spirit, bears
the
calamity.
Point.
It doesn't bear fruit. That's the difference. It's either fruit or calamity. And in your human nature, it's calamity is all we produce. The Spirit in us, though, produces good fruit.
So let me ask you this. Does it matter if it's good intentions or just reckless living? They're both human effort, right?
They're both
flesh.
Right. Right.
They're both acts of the flesh.
That is the point of Galatians right there. That's what he's trying to say. It doesn't matter whether you're
good intentions.
Yeah. Or living
just a reckless life. They're both flesh.
They're both flesh. They both count for nothing.
Neither gets rewards.
Neither gets rewards.
One's obvious, but the other gets no rewards either.
Right. Amen. Amen.
And they can be the best of efforts. Doesn't the warning make sense now? I warn you. What did he warn us of? Not to go to bars. Not
no.
to live recklessly.
Not to
no, he said, if you... I warn you, you who want to be under the law, do you not read the law? For the law has two results to it. I should say it this way. The flesh has two motives. One is really trying hard to do good for God. And another motive is the flesh can just live a reckless life and just hedonism to the max. It doesn't matter if the motive is good to live by the flesh. That's the point of it. That really is the point. It doesn't matter if you have good intentions with your human effort. It's still flesh. It's not acceptable. It's not based on a promise. It's based on Mount Sinai trying to please God so that God will bless you. He blessed you before you were ever born. He blessed you before the foundation of the world. He blessed you when he made the promise to Abraham. You will be a blessing to all nations, all families, all everything you can think of. You'll be a blessing to all people, I think is the other one. And the blessing is the gift of righteousness. The gift of being declared righteous. The gift of being justified in God's eyes. No matter how your life went, you're still justified in God's sight. You're still righteous. And the promise is the Holy Spirit. And the promise is given to everyone. Only there's a lot of people that have no idea that they have a spirit inside of them. Like we talked about at the beginning with Job, there's a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. They need to be born again and awaken to this reality that the spirit of Christ in them is the blessing. Human effort, good or bad intentions, good or bad intentions, is a curse. It produces how much fruit?
Zero, nada. It burns.
So when Jesus said, apart from me, well, what did he say?
You
abide in me,
mm-hmm.
and I will abide in you. That's that word we were talking
about. And you will bear
much fruit. But if you try in your human effort, you'll bear a little fruit, but not as much as, it doesn't say that?
Apart from me, you can do absolutely zip.
What does absolutely zip mean in the Greek?
Absolutely zip.
What's it mean in Hebrew?
Absolutely zip. Means that in English too.
Absolutely zip. Doesn't the allegory make sense now?
It sure does, Bill. It sure does.
So let's understand it in 5:1 now. It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm and be not entangled again in a yoke of slavery. We just said that being a Yahoo or trying your best is still an opportunity for the flesh. And here he's specifically talking about do not be entangled again with a yoke of slavery as an opportunity for you to give your best effort. That's what the Galatians were trying to do, give it their best effort. Why would that be a yoke of slavery, Steve?
Because, like it says in Romans 7, the law is spiritual, but I am human, and in my humanity, I am sold into bondage to sin. That is my yoke of slavery. Being human is my yoke of slavery, because when you're human, you do what you don't want to do and don't do what you do want to do, and you don't understand why you're doing it. And I'm just quoting Romans 7, but you don't understand why you're doing it. But if you're doing what you don't want to do, it's actually sin that dwells in your human nature, that wages war in your human nature and makes you a prisoner of sin and makes you do what you don't want to do. That's why he says that's the yoke of slavery.
And isn't Romans 7 going into 8 the same answer? It's for freedom that Christ set you free? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it say that in 8:1?
Yes.
That there's now no condemnation, for the law of the Spirit of life has what? Set you free. It's for
from
freedom.
The law of that, sin and death.
Right. It's just, it's for freedom that you, it's for freedom that
you were set free.
It's the same as the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It's trying real hard in your human effort, but getting nowhere. That's never going to be a fulfillment of the promise of God. It's burned up. It counts for nothing. Having understood that now, I think we're running out of time, but maybe we'll have to visit it on another podcast. But doesn't that make it's for freedom that Christ set you free, stand firm and be not entangled by a yoke of slavery, a whole new meaning, the real meaning?
Yeah, just don't go back to your human performance. Don't try that. Not don't go back to the bars. Don't go back to performing humanly when you've got a Spirit who can do it all for you.
Amen.
Amen. So do you want me to close us in prayer?
Could you do that?
And we'll pick up right where we left off in the next podcast.
Yeah, we got to do another podcast, I would say.
Yeah. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for your Spirit of wisdom and revelation that helps us read the Bible, that reads the Bible for us, because that Spirit of wisdom and revelation is none other than the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is the mind that wrote the Bible, so it certainly understands the Bible. Isn't it that what it says? Isn't it the Spirit within a man that knows the thoughts of a man? It's the Spirit of Christ that knows the thoughts of Christ that were written in the Bible. So thank you for that Spirit. Thank you for that Spirit that Paul is telling us to use. Thank you for that Spirit that set us free from our own futility, from our own inability to live the Christian life. It set us free from that. And then Paul says, don't go back to that yoke of slavery again, that human performance ideology, the Ten Commandment mentality. Don't go back to that. You remember when he's been saying this all through Galatians, Father, if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a sinner again. If I go back to the yoke of slavery, I prove myself to be a sinner again. The whole letter of Galatians is telling us this one thought. Stay on the Spirit performance treadmill, Father. So allow us to take root in that one thought. This is the one thought. Stay on the Spirit performance treadmill. Allow us to take root in that one thought, Father. Stay on the Spirit performance treadmill. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night, you guys. We love you.
We love you.
Before we go, I would like to read a few words of gratitude to Conviction Radio for choosing us to do a podcast on this station. We are compelled to express our utmost gratitude for the honor bestowed on us to be welcomed into your team, to have our voices amplified through your platform is a privilege we hold in the highest regard. The magnitude of your invitation extended to us after listening to our podcast is not lost on us at all. It is a testament that our message resonates with listeners. A message of distinction amidst the flow of modern Christianity. Your decision to feature our content is not merely an act of inclusion, It is a resounding vote of confidence, a gesture that fills us with humility and gratitude, no doubt. But this privilege comes with great responsibility, a responsibility that we solemnly intend to uphold with unwavering dedication. Our commitment is to an unwavering adherence to the Bible as the ultimate authority in all matters discussed on our podcast. We recognize the sanctity of the Scriptures and will to approach each topic with reverence and humility, seeking guidance solely from the Scriptures. As Martin Luther said, solo scriptoris. We will always align our actions with the precepts laid out in the Scriptures. We refuse to interject any personal opinions or interpretations, instead deferring to the timeless truths contained within the pages of the Bible. Scriptures shall reign supreme in all our discourse, serving as the bedrock upon which all answers are built. Amen. Thank you, Convict Radio. We appreciate all you're doing for us more than words can say. Thank you.